Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bustin' Loose Baseball with Grant and Danny. Interviews, analytics, and analysis on everything baseball in the nation's capital.
Eric is with us now. Let's talk about these Frednats, because I was just saying, I think they might be the most exciting team in the entire organization at this point. What a great time for you guys at the ballpark. You guys have been getting great crowds and just got James Woods' debut, as well as Trey Lipscomb, who the team just drafted out of Tennessee as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Grant. I mean, it's really, we were just talking last night how spoiled we are. I mean, we had Jeremy De La Rosa and a lot of other prospects. Obviously, we had Brady House for a while before he got hurt. And, you know, from beginning to end, it's really been a really exciting season here in Fredericksburg. And, you know, I think that, you know, reading the mood on Twitter and stuff among Nats fans, it's just, they're coming. And it's really exciting to be in Fredericksburg right now, for sure.
One of the things I would say is, frankly, the team's upper level, specifically offensively, they're basically devoid of impact bats. You know, they certainly were going into this draft and prior to the trade where they go get Abrams and put him in Rochester. But having been at Fredericksburg a ton this year, like Wilmington was pretty light, I would say. But the group that was there at the start of the year, which is going to be in Wilmington, and now adding Hassel and adding James Wood and adding this draft class, including Elijah Green, who's going to be in Fredericksburg soon. I mean, that's where the depth of the talent is. And that's, I think, organizationally where people can get excited. So let's go through a bunch of these guys, if you don't mind. I want to start with just your first thoughts on James Wood. Who had a four-hit game and a home run in one of his first contests in Fredericksburg. And it looks like he's just a super high-ceiling bat, .323 on the year, .996 OPS this year in the minors, 19 years old, and he's huge.
Yeah, no, he definitely looks the part. That game that you mentioned was his very first game as a Frednat, four hits, two-run home run. And the thing that impresses me the most about him is the maturity of the bat. It's such a smooth swing from the left side, and he uses all fields. He had two RBI base hits last night in his home debut, both of them on breaking balls, both of them the other way. So the maturity of, you know, his command of the strike zone, he's got really good plate discipline. His body, he's got such long legs. You know, he's 6'7", but, you know, a disproportionate amount of that height is in his legs. And you think 6'7", 240, he's not super rangy out in center field. He just glides around. I mean, he was stealing bases last night. He was going first to third on kind of iffy plays. And he's the full package. And, you know, you don't want to make Juan Soto comparisons and all that stuff, because nobody is Juan Soto. But he looks like he could develop into somebody that could be an impact player like Soto was at the highest level.
Which is the dream, right? That's the goal. And he certainly got the most upside of what was an incredible package of prospects they got back. Have you interacted with James Wood much yet?
Yes. I actually, the past couple of days, you know, we've had a bit of a media circus here in Fredericksburg. Actually, as we speak, the Frednats are taking batting practice right now. I'm overlooking the field, and he's mic'd up by Fox 5. And, I mean, he's been kind of pulled in a lot of different directions, but I have gotten to spend a little bit of time with him.
That's cool. He was a D.C. area guy, went to St. John's College High School, played basketball, transferred to IMG Academy to go the baseball route, and it obviously worked out. He was the 62nd pick in the draft. Would have gone higher than that, I think, but there were some swing and miss concerns, and he's already made a swing adjustment that, you know, has kind of cured that. And if he got redrafted now, he'd be a top five pick probably in his class. What kind of guy is he? I've heard really, really good things about his makeup and the energy he brings. Like, what are your interactions with him so far telling you?
He's so mentally mature for a 19-year-old. That's one thing that is super similar with him and Brady House. You talk to those two guys, you would never know how young they are. James, he never gets too high, never gets too low. That's actually what Jake Lowry, our manager, said about him. I kind of asked him, when he first arrived, I said, what was your initial impressions of James? And Jake gave me the old, like, flatline hand signal. Like, he never gets too high, never gets too low. He's just got a really good temperament. You know, these guys, especially these young guys, have not played every day ever in their lives. And it's easy to kind of spiral, I think, if you know, one day doesn't go well, 2 days don't in a row don't go well, especially, you know, for how young they are. But he's just so even keeled. He's just got to me, in my short time with him, the mental makeup of somebody that is going to be a successful big leaguer for sure.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to see more of him. He had a big game, 11 runs, 14 hits on Tuesday night, part of a huge breakout offensively for the Fred Nats. And in that game, Trey Lipscomb made his debut in the organization in full season ball. He's 22 years old. He is a Frederick, Maryland guy. He was drafted this year in round 3, 84th pick out of Tennessee. What can you tell people about Trey Lipscomb, who went 2-for-5 with a homer in his first game?
Just a lot of pop in that bat. You know, you look at him physically, and you don't think this guy's a power hitter, but he's only one of two Tennessee guys in this century to hit 20 home runs in a season. So, I mean, he's just got a lot of pop in that bat. I just was watching him take batting practice. He hit the ball off the left field foul pole in his second swing in single A yesterday, and he did it again in batting practice today off almost the exact same swing, exact same spot. He's super rangy at third base, really good arm. But one of the telling things, I think, about his debut last night, obviously hit that home run in the first inning, that gets the headlines. But he had a really grinded out at bat with two outs and a runner on third in the middle innings. Got a borderline full count pitch that he just slapped to right field to drive in his fourth run of the game. And that, to me, is the maturity of his bat. You know, the college guys look different when they show up here as far as strike zone discipline, as far as not getting themselves out. And that was evident just through one game for him that he's advanced at that part of it.
Eric Bach is with us, calls Fred Nats games. He's super plugged in, and I was really impressed. I got to go down and spend some time with him earlier this year, and he was helping us set up for a broadcast for 106.7 The Fan, and knows everything about the team and the players, and is the guy to have on when we want to talk about this ball club. I believe you're a Michigan State guy, right? You're a Spartan?
Yes, sir. Go green, baby.
Are they they're gonna be all right this year, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, overachieved to win 10 games last year in Mel Tucker's first real season, and now that got some of his own recruits in there, I mean, he utilized the transfer portal a ton, and hopefully 10 wins would be great, but I don't know. I'm a little bit worried that the expectations are a little bit too high. They're still a couple years away from being a true national contender again, I think, but I'm excited.
Makes sense. Lipscomb defensively? Third base, yeah. Does he stay there, do you think? What are people saying about, I mean, because everything, when I asked people around the draft time, it was bat, 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 like you figure the rest out. So is he actually a third baseman?
I think so. He did make an error last night, got a really bad hop on him. The ball kind of ran up his arm. But, you know, one error in one game is not indicative of the entire player. I think he could stay at third base. Cortland Lawson, his college teammate and draft classmate, they were the left side of the Tennessee infield in the spring, and they were the left side of the Fred Nat infield last night. And Lawson, to me, is the more polished defender. Lawson played shortstop, and Lipscomb played third. I think the general consensus of everyone I've talked to is that Lipscomb's bat is ahead of Lawson's, but Lawson's glove is ahead of Lipscomb's, and that was pretty evident in their first game last night. Lawson made a couple of plus-plus strong arm defensive plays deep in the hole at shortstop to throw out some quick guys. We're playing the Augusta Green Jackets, the Braves affiliate. And I think that Lipscomb can stick at third base. You know, there's always been talk about Brady House is a big guy. Like, is he going to stay at shortstop? The Nationals want him, Brady House, to stay at shortstop as long as they possibly can. So there's, in the future, I think, an opening at third base. And if Lipscomb can continue to hit, I think that he's plenty serviceable enough defensively at that position.
Yeah, and you figure it out, right? I mean,
sure.
If House ends up at third, it doesn't mean you're out of luck. Like, Lipscomb ends up in left or whatever.
Sure.
That stuff, it's a good problem to have because everyone doesn't normally pan out. And generally, if you think you're going to have that issue when these guys are in low A or A ball, it doesn't always happen that way, obviously. You've mentioned Brady House a couple times. Do we know what in the heck's going on? I mean, it's kind of mysterious. Like, he had a back thing, I get that, but they put him on the 10-day IL, and then it was just like we never heard about him again. Is he going to play again this season? He hasn't played in weeks.
This is not official of what I haven't heard a peep about him from anyone in the Washington organization, so this is purely my own speculation. My gut tells me no, that he's not going to play again this season. You know, as being as young as he is, he just turned 19 at the beginning of June. He grew like exceptionally fast in high school, like shot up. And when you get guys that grow that fast, that can kind of lend itself to backslash joint problems. And I think they're just being overly cautious. Brady went down to Florida. I think he's been, you know, rehabbing, training there. And my gut tells me that maybe he could play, but that the Nationals are not going to push him because, you know, obviously his back is really valuable to this organization in the next few years, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. But I hadn't heard an update, right? I mean, and I get in the minor leagues, it's not like there's a bunch of beat reporters that follow the team around and talk to the managers every day, but it's just odd that, you know, you put him on the IL, kind of a couple weeks later, people notice he's not playing, and next thing you know, it's been 2 months. So we'll continue to monitor that. All right, back to the guys that are playing right now for the team that you're calling games for night in and night out. Will Frizzell, you can tell me if I'm saying it wrong, but this dude, so he's an eighth-round pick out of Texas A&M, and I think just based on his college profile is probably advanced even for this level, but they started him in the FCL, and he was hitting like 440. They bumped him to Fredericksburg. You guys have called now 11 of his games, about 50 at-bats. He's hitting about 350. Nobody can get this guy out.
No. Two home runs last night, 4-for-4 with a walk. I mean, last night was his best game here in the Carolina League. But to me, his bat is even more advanced. It's too advanced for this league. I have yet to see him in 50 at-bats get himself out chasing a pitch that he should not be chasing. And that is... that's the biggest kind of hurdle that these young guys at this level, I think, have to clear is establishing their own strike zone discipline and hitting their pitch. Even if it's taking an occasional strike, if it's not a pitch that they can do something with, then, you know, they're letting it go by. And Frizzell, he's super advanced to me. He's a really impressive guy. He kind of came out of nowhere, actually. That was one of the home run calls last night. I said, where have you been, Will Frizzell? Like, nobody's been talking about this guy. And you said it, Grant. His college profile in the SEC, I mean, he raked in the SEC. He's raked in his professional career so far. My intuition, and again, nothing has been told to me about this, is that he probably should be in Harrisburg, frankly, the way that his bat is to me, and his glove is plus. So you can put him at first base. He's been about 50-50 playing first and DHing for us because we have Brandon Bossier, the Nationals third rounder in 2021, getting the majority of the first base reps. So he's mainly DHing, but, I mean, he's a serviceable first baseman, and he's a guy that I think needs to be in Harrisburg sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where you see him play at these levels. To your point, you go, okay, he needs to be bumped up to be challenged. But the reason maybe he's not a great prospect, he goes in the eighth round, whatever, is it's not like there's a huge defensive ceiling there. And generally, if you're a first base only type, you know, that kind of comes with being downgraded just on a prospect or draft scale as it is, right? So you're not up the middle. There's less value. He's massive, though. I think isn't he 6'5", 230 or something like that?
I wouldn't say he's 6'5", 230. I would put him at about the 6'3 range. I don't have a roster for him.
He's listed 6'5", 225.
Yeah.
You're going to go
might
under.
That might be a little generous. I would put him at 6'3", around 225. But either way, I mean, he's a physically imposing presence in the box.
Yeah.
And he's just a left-handed bat that, again, sprays the ball. Like, he's hit four home runs for us, two of them to the pole field, one of them to dead center field off the batter's eye in Kinston last week. And then the other one was the opposite way. So, I mean, he sprays the ball. He hits every pitch. He hits fastballs. He hits breaking balls. He walks a lot. He doesn't punch out a whole lot. So, I mean, it basically checks all the boxes of the plate.
Speaking of walking a lot, Brandon Bossier has walked 53 times in 73 games as one of the better walk rates, I think, in the system at this point. Hitting only 240, and he really has not shown much power at all this year. But as you said, he was a high pick. This is a third-round pick out of Arizona that they liked a lot last year. I think he was just outside of the top 80 in the draft, so this is a player that they need to get some production out of. 22 years old in Fredericksburg right now. How has his season gone?
The numbers are deceptive. He's been a lot better than the numbers have shown. He's had some unbelievably terrible luck. He's of balls that he's just crushed right at people, especially over the past couple weeks. He's been on actually 18 times in his last 9 games. So he's been getting on base a lot. You mentioned the walk number. That's a big reason why he's got great discipline. I mean, he led the Pac-12 in hits as a sophomore and led Arizona to Omaha in his sophomore year. That was the second time they'd ever been. So, I mean, this guy can play. And he was an outfielder for the most of his amateur career. And they have... He played a little bit of first base at the end of his time in Arizona, but he's been exclusively a first baseman here in Fredericksburg. He's really good with the glove. Like, you would never know that he's not like a quote-unquote natural first baseman. And the bat's coming along. I mean, there have been dry stretches for him, but, you know, he came out after his sophomore year. And but the number – he has been better than the numbers indicate in my opinion.
Another guy that I like a lot, prospect lists don't generally have this guy very high up for the Nats. I just was kind of messing around and put together my own top 15 the other day, and I had this guy in the back end of it. I really like the tools for TJ White. Another thing that's interesting to me is he's young, right? A lot of the guys I'm talking to you about are 22 or even 23 that are having this success. He's 19 years old, and he's been in Fredericksburg all year for 250 ABs. He's shown a little bit of power. He's got 7 homers. He can run a little bit, and he's got a handful of steals. He's got a 750 OPS. Has not been dominant by any means, but he's kind of held his own. What have you seen from TJ White, who just seems like a really toolsy, upside-type outfielder for me?
Well, Grant, when he started, and now we've got a little bit of turnover, but for the first half of the season, TJ was the youngest player in the Carolina League. So like keep that in mind. He just turned 19 at the end of July. He was 18 for, you know, the better part of the first 3 months of the season. The month of June, if you look at his splits, his month of June was about the best month that anyone on this team all season long has had. I think he hit about 337 in that month with power. He's also a switch hitter too. And he obviously, the majority of his at bats have come against righties. So there's a lot larger sample size on the left side as opposed to the right. But I think the switch hitting piece of it is something that people overlook. Like, he's going to be able to stay in the lineup against lefties or righties. And he's actually was naturally a right-handed swinger. And he told me that he saw Jason Hayward. Family moved around a lot when he was young, and he went to a Braves. They spent some time in the Atlanta area, went to a Braves game, saw Jason Hayward swinging from the left side when he was about 7 years old, right? Does that make you feel old? It made me feel old.
50.
And yeah, I'm about to turn 24, and that made me like feel super old. But he said he saw Jason Hayward swinging lefty, and he said, "Dad, I want to do that." His dad, Terenthio Boss White, was a basketball legend at Wofford. It's a really athletic family and a really great family. But TJ, he has been, as you maybe would expect from the youngest player in the Carolina League, super streaky. His highs have been as high as anyone in the league, but his lows have been pretty low too. So, you know, he'll figure out some consistency as he matures and gets older. I think he's definitely a viable prospect for the Nationals.
Yeah, I just like the idea of, you mentioned 18 at the beginning of the year, but 18, 19 in Fredericksburg, you know, just feels different than 22 or 23, right? And when you're that young and having some success, you mentioned a month that kind of stood out to me, it shows that there is a starter kit there that could be nice. Speaking of, you know, the veteran guys on the team, Jacob Young, the Florida product, who was a 7th-round pick. I like the speed. I don't know. I'd imagine he's a good defender just based on, you know, the profile and the fact that he runs well. But I don't think he's a ton, you know, you'd tell me if I'm wrong. I don't see him as a big-time prospect, but maybe kind of like an Andrew Stevenson when they were winning the World Series, you know, give you some speed, give you some defense type. Is that about right? He's played every day for you guys.
Absolutely. And he was playing right field every day when De La Rosa was here before he got promoted. And then in the interim between De La Rosa being promoted and the Juan Soto trade, he was playing center field, and he is as good of a defender as there is. I mean, he could play for the Big Nats right now in D.C. defensively. Like, that's how good he is defensively. And he scored 89 runs, Grant. He has the second most runs scored in professional baseball, and number one is a guy by the name of Aaron Judge. So it's
that's insane.
Aaron Judge, Jacob Young. That's the
list. And he hits 240.
I know. He gets on base a ton, and when he gets on base, I think he's about 38, 39 steals. He's a guy that makes things happen. And, you know, he's had some more bad luck, too, as far as, you know, lineouts and a couple of questionable calls have gone against him and all that sort of thing. You know, umpiring at the single-A level is questionable at best. But he is the table setter for this lineup, and he is – the big reason why this team in general has been successful. I know that, you know, winning at the minor league level is nice, but it's about developing prospects. But I mean, we've got a 5.5 game lead here in the Carolina League North Division in the second half, and he's been as big a part of that as anyone's, both offensively setting the table and defensively.
If you guys are listening in the Fredericksburg area, you should get out to a game. It's a beautiful ballpark. Yeah, I take the kids all the time because my daughter's obsessed with the mascot. Gus is the man. He's a super, you know, nightmare fuel for me, but she just can't get enough of him, and she has a bobblehead and all kinds of stuff, and he's nice. He hugs her and dances with her, and they have a good time, but I like going,
you know,
and
the story behind
the prospects.
Him, right? He's,
I don't.
He's George Washington's imaginary friend. That's what he's supposed to be.
I don't know if that makes sense, but that's hilarious. That's great.
Yeah, right.
So that's George Washington's imaginary friend is Gus?
Yes. That is the story behind Gus. Yeah. Yep.
Google him right now if you're listening to this and you haven't seen him. Gus is the man. I really like that guy. And my daughter calls him a mascot. That's her word for mascots. But he is her favorite mascot. At this point, he has surpassed Screech. But it is. It's a great ballpark. It's a cheap ticket, and you're right there on the field. And right now, the talent is really legit in the second year of ball there in Fredericksburg. If you can't go, just listen to the minor league play-by-play feed. To Eric and the crew on the call. They do a really good job. All right, how about I just got to ask you about a couple of arms, even though they weren't relevant necessarily to the last couple days.
Sure.
Jackson Rutledge has been on a bit of a roll, which they need. He's 23. Yeah. He was a first-round pick way back in 19, so I get that, you know, someone cynical could be saying, wait a second, we're talking about A-ball and first-round pick a few years ago. But here's the deal, man. I mean, he throws gas. He's massive.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a .290 average against this year, but you got to tell me, like, the last couple starts, do they look different? Because the line, and just listening to you guys, he's not giving up runs or hits like he was, at least in those two outings.
No. And early in the season, he was the definition of feast or famine. It would be 7 shutout innings or an inning and 2/3 with 8 earned. Like, there was no in between. And now he's found his last 2 starts have been phenomenal. He went 8 innings here in his last home start against a Salem Red Sox team who, in my view, the Salem team outside of Fredericksburg is the best offense in the Carolina League. They had Marcelo Meyer and Blaze Jordan, 2 top Boston prospects who have since been promoted in the last week or so. But he did that against an offense that's strong top to bottom, 8 innings, 1 run, and then 5 shutout innings in his last start on the road. What he has been able to do, in my opinion, is find – he's got to be okay – with going 5 innings and giving up 2 earned runs. Like, if he can do that a little bit more consistently and have his 7 shutout inning start, have his 8 inning 1 run start, he let things snowball, especially on the road early in the season, but he really has stayed the course. There is nobody that works harder behind the scenes. When he's not pitching, he's working with the strength guys. He's putting a lot of sweat equity into his career, and he's the best guy. He's one of my favorites in the clubhouse, and I'm just really, really rooting for him because the talent is there. I mean, it's 99 pretty consistently with late break on a sinker. And the key to me for him has been, is the sinker good or is it just okay? Because if it's good, then there's a lot of really soft contact, a lot of ground balls, just like a sinker baller should be. And if it's not, it's pretty straight and the ball kind of flies. So the past 3 or 4 weeks, the sinker's been really good, a lot of late movement, and he's worked in the curveball and obviously mixed in the fastball as well. But if he can get that sinker consistently good, I still think that the Nationals will get what they hoped for out of Jackson Rutledge, maybe even though it might be later than they would have wished.
Well, look, but that's fine. I mean, if it takes a little while, but he ends up being a high-end
starter
for them.
Jacob DeGrom made his major league debut at 26.
Yeah.
You know, like, and now he's been the best pitcher in baseball for the past 3 or 4 years. So there's no blueprint for, especially with starting pitchers, there's no blueprint for how quickly or slowly it's going to go.
Yeah, it's not a race, yeah. Andre Lara, last guy I'll ask you about because I know you got better things to do as you prep for your game. He's got a high ERA in 18 starts, but that's not always telling. He's got more strikeouts, 82, than innings pitched, 78, and more strikeouts than hits allowed. Those are the types of things that are indicative to me of stuff. You know, 250 mm-hmm. average against is respectable, but not great. But again, this is a teenager. This is a 19-year-old in Fredericksburg, which I grade on a curve, and I kind of feel really good about that when you're holding your own in that way. What do you think?
I think that he has been not nearly as consistent as they would have hoped he would be, but again, 19, you know? His last two starts have been really good, and when Andre has gotten himself in trouble has been when he's walked people. It's a pretty remarkable, if you look at his lines, when he's walked people, he's been not very good. When he hasn't, he's been pretty good. And the pattern for him, especially in the middle of the season, was two walks and then one big hit. Two more walks, one big hit. People weren't stringing together hits against him. He was really hurting himself with a lack of command. And if he can just hone that in, again, 19 years old, he's going to be able to hone the command in, I think. I'm higher on Rutledge than I am on Lara, but I still think, as you said, Grant, the stuff is as nasty as there is. He's just got to find some consistency and command in the strike zone, because when he commands the strike zone, the stuff, there's nobody that has better stuff, and there's really, you can count on one hand probably the guys that have more raw talent than that guy.
There are other players that have been through Fredericksburg this year that we won't have time to ask you about. De La Rosa, who's been terrific now in Wilmington, obviously. Sammy Infante, 16 home runs, one of the highest totals other than Joey Meneses now in the entire organization. So maybe we'll circle back to those guys down the road. Can't keep you forever. But I really, really appreciate it. And I'm pumped for you guys because last year, I know you weren't there yet, but a little bit of a grind for the fans in Fredericksburg as they got everything off the ground. But this is now like must-see, must-listen stuff. And you guys are getting great crowds. It's a good time to be out at the ballpark down there.
Yeah, things are humming along, both from a baseball standpoint and an organizational standpoint. It really is. You said it. We have 17 regular season home games left, including tonight. So the time is ticking to come see the Fred Nats, and I would highly encourage you to come out of the ballpark or subscribe to MILB TV for, I believe it's $9 a month.
Is that all it is now? $9? Come on, people.
Well, it's $50 for the whole year. If you buy it in April, it's even less than that. So,
yeah.
I mean, and the audio, that's just for the video broadcast. Our radio broadcasts are free. So.
Yeah, you can listen to those any day. But, yeah, you
any day.
Check them out. I mean, it's worth watching these guys, especially with the way things are trending at the major league level, for sure. Hey, Eric,
absolutely.
I really appreciate the time. Thank you, man, and have a great call as you guys continue here.
Appreciate the time, Grant. Thanks for having me on.